Welcome to Zichron Daf Simani. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechet Shabbos, Daf Samach. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Point number one, the Gemara on Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis introduced a contradiction between the Mishnah, which inferred that a woman would be liable to chatas for wearing a signet ring, since it's considered a burden and not an adornment for her, and a Mishnah in Kehilim that identifies a signet ring in a list of women's ornaments that are armakabal tumah. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak brings a third resolution to this problem by stating that it's not valid to compare the laws of Tumah to those of Shabbos. With respect to Tumah, the Pasuk states, Kli Masa, a fashioned vessel, and a ring, with or without a seal, is considered a Kli. But regarding Shabbos, the concern is carrying an item that is deemed a burden. And since women do not wear signet rings, it's considered a burden, a Masli, and a woman would be liable to Chatas. Point number two, the next Mishnah states that one may not go outside on Shabbos wearing a sandal hamasumar, a wooden sandal whose leather uppers are attached to its sole, with nails that protrude through the sole to its underside. The Gemara provides three different versions of a tragic incident where Jews in hiding, wearing those shoes, thought they were going to be detected by their enemies and subsequently trampled one another. Since the incident occurred on Shabbos, the decree was limited specifically to Shabbos. The Gemara brings a mission from Beitza that states that wearing this type of sandal is also prohibited on Yantav and explains that since Shabbos and Yantav are days when people gather as a result of Malacha being prohibited, the decree was extended to include Yantav. Even Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, who typically applies rabbinic decrees very narrowly, holds that Yantav is included in the Gezerah, in so much as like Shabbos regarding food preparation. And point number three, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that one is permitted to wear the sandals if the nails were only put in to beautify the sandal and not to strengthen it. Rav says one can beautify the sandal with up to 5 nails for each sandal. Rabbi Chanina said up to 7 nails per sandal. And one version of Rabbi Chia states he permits up to 24 nails per sandal. So once again, the three points are, point number one, the Gemara on Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis introduced a contradiction between the Mishnah, which inferred that a woman would be liable to chatas for wearing a signet ring, since it's considered a burden, not an ornament that she would wear, and a Mishnah again that identifies the signet ring in a list of women's ornaments that are armakabal tumah. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak brings a third resolution to this problem by stating that it's not valid to compare the laws of tumah to those of Shabbos. With respect to tumah, the Pasuk states, Kli Masa, a fashioned vessel, and a ring with or without a seal is considered a kli. But regarding Shabbos, the concern is carrying an item that is deemed a burden. And since women do not wear signet rings, it's considered a burden, and a woman would be liable to chatas. Point number two. The next Mishnah states, a woman may not go outside on Shabbos wearing a sandal masumar, a wooden sandal whose leather uppers are attached to its sole with nails that protrude through the sole to its underside. The Gemara provides three different versions of a tragic incident where Jews in hiding wearing those shoes thought they were going to be detected by the enemies and subsequently trampled one another, causing much death. Since the incident occurred on a Shabbos, the Gezerah was limited specifically to Shabbos. But the Gemara brings a Mishnah from Beitza that states that wearing this type of sandal is also prohibited on Yantav, and explains that since Shabbos and Yantav are days when people gather as a result of Malacha being prohibited, the decree was extended to include Yantav. Even Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, who typically applies rabbinic decrees very narrowly, holds that Yantav is included in the decree insomuch that it's like Shabbos, except regarding food preparation. And point number three, Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that one is permitted to wear the sandals if the nails were only put in to beautify the sandal and not to strengthen it. Rav says one can beautify the sandal with up to 5 nails for each sandal. Rabbi Chanina says up to 7 nails per sandal, and one version of Rabbi Chia states he permits up to 24 nails per sandal. All right, so now we go to our simon. So the simon for Samach comes to us by way of two Zichru members who suggested it in the Zichru Adar Choose a Simon contest. Joe Mann and Ellie Tabar both suggested we use for Samach a smiley face. So we're using smiley face stickers for Samach. So here goes. The husband realized his wife wouldn't wear the signet ring, even with the image of a smiley face sticker. So he bought her a fancy pair of sandal masumers for Yantav, decorated with 24 nails per sandal. Once again, in slow motion. The husband realized his wife wouldn't wear the signet ring, even with the image of a smiley face sticker. Smiley face sticker, that means we're on Daf Samach. So the husband realized his wife wouldn't wear the signet ring, even with the image of a smiley face sticker, which reminds us, the Gemara in Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis introduced a contradiction between the Mishnah, which inferred that a woman would be liable to chatas for wearing a signet ring, since it's considered a burden and not an adornment, and a Mishnah in Kehilim that identifies a signet ring in a list of women's ornaments that are makabel tumah. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak brings a third resolution of this problem by stating that it's not valid to compare the laws of tumah to those of Shabbos. With respect to tumah, the Pasuk states, Kli Masa, a fashion vessel, and a ring, with or without a seal, is considered a kli. But regarding Shabbos, the concern is carrying an item that is deemed a burden. And since women do not wear signet rings, it's considered a burden and a woman would be liable a chatas. So the husband realized his wife wouldn't wear the signet ring, even with the image of a smiley face sticker. So he bought her a fancy pair of sandal masumas for Yantiv, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that one may not go outside on Shabbos wearing a sandal masumar, a wooden sandal whose leather uppers are attached to its sole, with nails that protrude through the sole to its underside. The Gemara provides three different versions of a tragic incident where Jews in hiding, wearing those shoes, thought they were going to be detected by their enemies and subsequently trampled one another, causing much death. Since the incident occurred on a Shabbos, the Gezer was limited specifically to Shabbos. The Gemara brings a Mishnah from Beitza that states that wearing this type of sandal is also prohibited on Yantiv, and explains that since Shabbos and Yantiv are days when people gather as a result of Malacha being prohibited, the decree was extended to include Yantiv. Even Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, who typically applies rabbinic decrees very narrowly, holds that Yantiv is included in the decree in so much that it's like Shabbos except regarding food preparation. So the husband realized his wife wouldn't wear the signet ring, even with the image of a smiley face sticker. So he bought her a fancy pair of sandal masumas for Yantiv, decorated with 24 nails per sandal. Which reminds us, Rav Yudit said in the name of Shmuel that one is permitted to wear the sandals if the nails were only put in to beautify the sandal and not to strengthen it. Rav says one can beautify the sandal with up to 5 nails for each sandal. Rav Chanina says up to 7 nails per sandal. And one version of Rabbi Chiya states that he permits up to 24 nails per sandal. So once again, the husband realized his wife wouldn't wear the signet ring even with the image of a smiley face sticker. So he bought her a fancy pair of sandal masumas for Yantiv, decorated with 24 nails per sandal. All right, so now it's time for a four bought back chazara. Daf Nun Vav. So the sim for Nun Vav is the Shusher and Shul going nu-nu. So here goes. The Shusher and Shul started his career of nu-nuing people. Shusher and Shul nu-nuing people? That means we're on Daf Nun Vav. So the Shusher and Shul started his career of nu-nuing people in Shul. When he heard people question David Melch's behavior with Uriah and Mephibosheth, which reminds us, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani said in the name of Rabbi Yonasan, Ko omer David chata eino ela toa. Whoever says David sinned is simply mistaken. This is in regards to the killing of Uriah Achiti and the taking of his wife Bathsheba. The Gemara explains that Uriah was considered a morid b'malchus, a rebel against the monarchy, when David Melch summoned him from the war and told him to return to his wife. Rashi explains that it was not proper in Uriah's response to David to refer to Yoav as his master before referring to the king as his master. Tosa says that Uriah rebelled when he refused to listen to the king and go home to his wife. So the Shusher and Shul start his career new-newing people in Shul. When he heard people question David and Melch's behavior with Uriah and Mephibosheth, which reminds us, there's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel whether David and Melch accepted Lashon Hora about Mephibosheth, Shalom Melch's grandson. Tziva, Mephibosheth's servant, told David and Melch that Mephibosheth expressed hope that he'd be coronated once the people saw the conflict happening between David and his sons. So Rabbi Yudah said in the name of Rav that David accepted Lashon Hora, and if he would not have accepted it, his malchus would not have been divided, Bnei Israel would not have worshipped idols, and we would not have been exiled from the land. Shmuel says that David did not accept Lashon Hora against Mephibosheth. Rather, he discerned in Mephibosheth's subsequent behavior something that had confirmed what Tziva said was true. So the Shusher and Shul started his career of nu-nuing people in Shul. When he heard people question David and Melch's behavior with Uriah and Mephibosheth, and Shlomo Melch's actions regarding his wives. Which reminds us, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani said in the name of Yonasan, Ko omer Shlomo chata eino ela toa. Whoever says that Shlomo sinned is simply mistaken. This is regarding committing the sin of Avodah Zorah on the altars that his wives had built. The Gemara asks, if Shlomo did not sin, so why does the Pasuk say, V'yas Shlomo hara be'enei Hashem? And Shlomo did evil in the eyes of Hashem. The Gemara answers that Shlomo did not build the altars, but because he should have protested against his wives who worshipped idols, and he didn't protest, the Pasuk regards him as if he himself had sinned by building the altars for Avodah Zorah. Daf Nun Zayin. So the Simfon Nun Zayin is Pinocchio's nose. Pinocchio's nose. Here goes. At the Pinocchio factory, that means we're on Daf Nun Zayin. At the Pinocchio factory, puppets were tested by being dumped into baths wearing straps on their head, which reminds us, the opening Mishnah on the sixth parak lists a number of items that a woman may not wear in Rishus Harabim, lest she removes them or they fall off and she comes to carry them. Included in the list is a statement that a woman may not go out with chutei tzemer, chutei pishin, v'ritzuah, shibarosha, wool strands, linen strands, or straps that are on her head. The Mishnah adds that she may not immerse in a mikvah while wearing them until she loosens them. Rav Nachman Yitzchak explained that the Mishnah mentioned the law of immersion at the end of this list to explain the reason why women are not permitted to wear these specific strands. Since she's required to loosen them, to immerse them even on a weekday, so there will not be a chetzitza between her and the water, the Rabbanan forbade a woman to wear them on Shabbos unless she's required to go to the mikveh, unties them, and then comes to carry them in Rishus HaRabim. So at the Pinocchio factory, puppets were being tested by McDumpton to Baz, wearing straps on their head, while ornate bibs, which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that a woman may not go out on Shabbos wearing a katla, an ornate bib that one would wear to protect clothes from getting dirty while eating. Women would pull its drawstrings tightly to choke themselves so they would appear plump, which was considered more attractive. It was forbidden to wear them on Shabbos in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim because they must be loosened prior to immersion and a woman may come to inadvertently carry them. So at the Pinocchio factory, puppets were tested by being dumped into baths, wearing straps on their head, while ornate bibs and frontlets were being fashioned to be sold as accessories. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that a woman may not go on Shabbos with a totefus or sarvitin if they're not sewn into the hat, since one might come to take them off to show to a friend and carry them in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Rav Yosef said a totefus was a charm packet worn to ward off Ayin Hara. Abaya objected to Rav Yosef's explanation because then a totefus should be treated as an effective kameya, an amulet, and be permitted. Instead, he interprets totefus as a frontlet. And Rabbi Abba explained that a totefus was an ornamental plate that wraps around the forehead from ear to ear, and sarvitin were head bangles that were wrapped around the head and hung over the temples on either side, reaching until the cheeks. Rav Huna says poor women would make them out of fabric, while wealthier women would make them out of silver and gold. Daf Nun Ches. So the Simfer Nun Ches is Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper. So here goes. Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, that means we're on Daf Nun Ches. Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, made his workers wear emblems around their necks, which reminds us, our Mishnah on Nun Zayin Amud Aleph state that a woman may not go out into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim wearing a kavul. On Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, Rabbi Abo identified the word kavul as an ornamental woolen cap. On our Daf, Shmuel disagrees and identifies the kavul as a kavul da avda, a slave's emblem which is worn around his neck. The Gemara asks that this is a contradiction with another statement of Shmuel, in which he permits a slave to go out on Shabbos with his emblem around his neck. So the Gemara answers that the halachas differ based on who made the emblem. If the slave made the emblem, then Shmuel prohibits him from wearing it, since he might take it off and conceal it from others. This is the case of our Mishnah. But if the master made the emblem, the slave is permitted to wear it because he will not remove it out of fear of his master seeing without it. If the master had sewn it into the slave's cloak, though, Shmuel prohibits this because if it were to become detached, the slave might fold his cloak and place it over his shoulder to conceal the place where the emblem had been, which would result in the violation of Otsah. So Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, made his workers wear emblems around their necks after he discovered they were handing out purified security bells, which reminds us, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani taught that we learned that a utensil of metal designed to produce sound becomes susceptible to mekabel tumah from the pasuk, kol davar sheyavo be'esh taviru be'esh, any item that has come into the fire you shall pass through the fire and it will be purified. The superfluous word davar, which teaches us that afil dibur yavo be'esh, even items that produce sound must come into the fire to be purified. So Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, made his workers wear emblems around their necks after he discovered they're handing out purified security bells to parents to attach to their children's clothes that didn't have clappers. Which reminds us, the Gemara clarifies the difference between bells worn by children and those worn by adults. Bells worn by children are made for the purpose of producing sound, so the parents can know where the child is. Therefore, if they do not have clappers, the bells are useless utensils that cannot be mekabel tumah. Bells worn by adults, though, such as slaves, are worn for ornaments, and therefore they can be mekabel tumah even if they do not have a clapper. Daf Nun Tes, so the Simfer Nun Tes is on knights. Here goes. The knight in shining armor, knight in shining armor, that means we're on Daf Nun Tes. The knight in shining armor kindly gave his child a drink from a bell without a clapper, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a discussion on Nun Ches on the base regarding why a bell, which was tameh that had its clapper removed, still remains tameh. Abai explained that since the clapper can be easily reattached and doesn't require the work of a craftsman, it retains its tumah status. So on our Daf, two more opinions are introduced, and according to the Gemara's conclusion, the opinions are switched. So the final understanding of the Gemara is as follows. Rabbi Yosi ben Rabbi Chanina holds that the bell retains its tumah status since it's fit to be used to give a drink to a child. He holds if a utensil can still be used for something, it retains its tumah status. Rabbi Yochanan and Rava hold that it retains its tumah status because it's still fit to strike against an earthenware pot to make a sound. Boy me'ein malach rishonah. They require that the vessel is still usable for a semblance of its original function. So the knight in shining armor kindly gave his child a drink from a bell without a clapper and his distinguished wife an Irshel Zahav crown, which reminds us, the Mishnah state that a woman may not go on Shabbos with an Irshel Zahav, a crown ornament engraved with the likeness of Yerushalayim. The Gemara introduces Malchokas Tanaim. Ramir holds that it's a burden and not an ornament, and therefore a woman would be liable chattas for wearing it in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The Chamim hold that it was prohibited for her to wear it out of concern that she would take it off to show others, and come to carry it Dalet Amos. Since it's a Durabanan, she would not be liable chattas. And Rabbi Eliezer permits a woman to go outside wearing it. He holds that only distinguished women would wear such an ornament, and it was beneath their dignity to take it off to show others. So the knight in shining armor kindly gave his child a drink from a bell without a clapper, and his distinguished wife in earshells a hub crown, when he encountered a tall limping man holding a tiara. Which reminds us, when Rav was told that a tall man came to Narda, limping, and ruled that wearing a kalila, a tiara on Shabbos, is permitted, he was able to deduce that it was Levi, and that Rabbi Afis had passed away, and Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama became the head of Rabbi's yeshiva. Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama was Levi's chavrusa, and when he became head of the academy, Levi left. One of the reasons that Rav knew that Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama had not passed away, and that it was the reason that Levi had come to Bavel, was that Rebbe had said before his death that Chanina Bar Chama shall sit at the head of the yeshiva, and the pasuk states, "V'sigzo Omer v'yakam lach," and you will make a plan and it will succeed for you. Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama refused to take the position while Rebbe Afis, who was older, was alive, and Rav knew that Rebbe Chanina's leadership would therefore eventually come to fruition. All right, now it's time to go to our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachas. Number 1, which stuff do we discuss whether a woman can wear a totefes and sarvitin on Shabbos outside in Rishus Rabin? That's on Daf Nun Zion. Good. Number 2. Which Daf do we learn with that metal utensils that produce sound are Makabal Tumba? That's on Daf Nun Ches. Good. Number 3. Which Daf do we learn about the miracle that happened to the man who needed to nurse his son? That's on Daf Nun Gimel. Great. Number 4. Where do we have the Malkokas regarding a woman wearing an ear shel zahav? That's on Daf Nun Tes. Great. Number 5. Which Daf do we have the question whether an excessive restraint for an animal is considered a masui, considered a burden? That's on Daf Nun Aleph. Good. Number 6. Which Daf do we learn about the different halachas for a signet ring regarding Shabbos and Tuma? That's on Daf Samach. Good. Number 7. Where do we learn that holding camel ropes is a concern of Kalayim? That's on Daf Nandalit. Good. Number 8. Which Daf do we discuss whether a slave can go out wearing an emblem? That's on Daf Nunches. Good. Number 9. Which Daf do we learn about the conditions for a chazara? That's on Daf Lamed Ches. Great. And finally, number 10. Which Daf do we learn about Tama Schus Avos? That's on Daf Nun Hey. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachas. Which Daf do we discuss things which are 60th of something else? That's on Daf Nun Zayin. Great. Number 2. Which Daf do we learn the Bracha of Hatov HaMeitiv in benching is it the Rabbanan? That's on Daf Mem Vav. Good. And number 3, which Daf do we have the Malkokas regarding the Pshat and the Pasuk of Va'asafta Deganecha? That's on Daf Lamed Hey. Great. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. And the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachas is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.